Blog Talk Radio.
I've been a throw up the texting her. And I can put you in. I can put you in.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Dark Matters Radio. I'm the sorceress Cagliostro, blood sorceress, necromancer, in the hands of nine. This is my mogul year. This year, I will blow this work out in a way, making it accessible in a much broader streak than ever before, expanding the work and making changes where necessary, offering materials that will change people's lives. It's been a long time since I've done a radio show because I have waited for the right moment. The radio show is three times a month plus one more, which sounds like four times a month, but it isn't actually structured like that. In February, we bring in the show as a subscription show, working with Patreon, and making it available for an extremely accessible price. The importance of this work makes it so that that is the way it should be. This is the second episode of a month. The first and the third episode will be structured differently with my co-host Tyler Faye, bringing in Rick Weisbrot also. They're a tremendous team, and we talk about a lot of really important stuff. But this is the second show of the month and the one where I discuss sorcery. Sorcery is everything to me. It's my life's work. It's what's necessary. So I gave this a lot of thought and felt that what might be best to do would be to gather together questions the public has asked me in my emails and take a look at where the interest lies in the work, especially for people who are new to the work. I have a producer for the show, Vito V, will be on with me tonight, helping me answer some questions. He culled those questions for us from thousands of emails. And I will lean into him to bring those questions forward. But tonight, let me first share with you what I think is a really good subject for this, the first of these kinds of shows in the new version of Dark Matters Radio. Tonight, I'm going to be addressing one of the pillars of my work, which is working with the polarities. Now, understand the polarities, north, south, east, west, are not, for me, spiritual entities. I don't even know what that means. They are, for me, magnetic moments working with the giant planet that we actually sit on and involving ourselves in not working contrary, but working with the natural occurrence of the energy. And, you know, people read my books, they talk to me, they take my classes, and they understand the very basic story of the polarities, which is utilizing them in what they do, north bringing forward, south pulling away, east speeding things up, and west doing something I refer to as appropriate timing, and we can get into more of that. But I do encourage people to send questions. The best email for me is sorceresscagliostro@gmail.com for general questions. I get thousands of emails, so it might take a bit for you to get a response. And maybe your question will wind up on the show. Starting in February, there will be an open chat room and even a brief period of time in which I will take live questions. So keep that in mind. This sample show will be up on the site for people to listen to and have an opportunity to understand what it is that I will be doing here. So tonight, regarding the polarities, there are some general statements that I'd like to make. The polarities, like any other scientific tool, have stabilized actions and flexible actions. The stabilized actions being the ones I briefly mentioned, what north, south, east, and west do organically in their presence on this planet. And the flexible polarities are how we interpret that. What do we desire to bring to ourselves? What are we stuck with that we have not been able to let go of and and use another polarity for that sort of thing. And, I think if I give a few examples at the front end, we can start to understand how everyone can use the polarities in their day-to-day existence. And then we're going to get to a few questions that will help us explore the language of this teaching and make it more reliable for those who are new to the work, and a really nice review for those who have been working the work for a long time. But here's what you must remember. The work works when you work it. When you use it on a regular basis, when it becomes a go-to for you, and when you don't have to think, well, maybe I should have used it and didn't. There is no limit. There are many paths, and I'm not sure I even like that term, but it's a commonly used one, for manners or mechanisms or systems by which people go into these areas of work and say, well, this is, for example, Wicca, and this is voodoo, and all these sorts of things all have their own merit. Not what I do, though. These are not things I do. So understand that we're talking about specifically my work in this area. And many of those paths, not all of them, and not even necessarily the ones I've mentioned specifically, many of those paths say sorcery, in their language more likely magic or action or ritual, are things that you do in moments of great necessity. This is the great chasm between my work and all others. I say, you've got a winning tool with you. You use it all day long. You don't put it down. You use it for everything. Even when I get to talk about blood sorcery down the road, you use it for everything, whenever you can, all the time. You know, those people who pray all the time, I refer to them as the prayer people. They're always praying to their deities, oh, this and that, right? And they don't say, you know, it's a terrible thing, I'll stop and pray. And I understand that prayer is a movement of energy. I accept no divinities or deities of any kind. But I understand that prayer is their movement of energy. I get it. I don't know that they do, but that's what it is. And they never say, oh, I've prayed twice today, I can't use it anymore. When you're using that sort of mentality and you're always on it, and you're always doing it, you develop a reliance. The difference is if you use the sorcery all the time, you develop a freedom, a way in and out of things, you know, at your behest. So the general working is that the polarities are in control of certain actions. And we think of, if you think of yourself as standing in the middle of a compass and you look north, you're looking in the direction of that which looks back, looks towards you, brings things to you. In those moments, it's extraordinary to think about what that could possibly mean. So you have a desire, you have a requirement, you have something you must have. So how about you reach north and place that thing in that polarity, and we can talk more about the language of what it means to place something in a polarity, and that thing will move towards you because it is actionable with the energy of the north. It's like the north has a train. The train comes towards you. You put something on the train, it gets delivered. It's pretty straightforward. This is a very basic understanding. And then you have something you have made efforts to remove, can't do it. For some reason, it's just stuck there, no matter what you do. It doesn't go away. Well, let's look at that thing. And let's think about the south. Think about the same train. The train's following you everywhere. Can't get rid of it. You put this thing on the train, and it goes south, and it pulls away from you. And suddenly, you feel this freedom, this perfect emptiness, where this thing is no longer a burden. Let's think about the east. The action of the east is that it tends to speed action up. Whatever it is you're doing, and you can use the words good and bad, I don't, but you can. Good, bad, or indifferent, as people like to say, the east will move that action further along. So be very careful about what goes into the east. And then you have the west, which is something called appropriate timing, a little bit more advanced stuff, but let's just say it delivers to you and from you in a methodology that is the best way for that action to be useful to you. That's kind of the short version. Those are the basics of using the polarities in the work. And I'll just say a little bit more on the subject, and then we'll get to some of the questions people have asked, because those questions drive what the community, what the world is asking about the work. There's another action called being the human compass, which is the term that I use for being in the middle of the compass, that center point, the thing that holds together all the rest of the compass. Everything in life, everything in work, everything in action has to have a center point. So when you use the polarities, the center point is you. So you'll hear this term, the human compass. What does it mean to be the human compass? And I think we even have a question about that tonight, as I sort of vaguely recall. So we'll be talking about those kinds of things. And after you've listened to this, if you have more questions, go to sorceresscagliostro@gmail.com and send those to me. I will talk about how to connect to this show on subscription for starting in February. And at this point, we have a partnership with Patreon. We'll see how that goes. And that information will be made available to you. I'd like to invite Vito V. Are you on, Vito? Can you hear me? I don't know. Is he on? Is he not on? I don't hear him. Okay. Well, I can go ahead with some of the questions because I don't hear him right now. So let me go ahead and read some of these questions. And the first question is, what does it mean to be the human compass? Okay, so I've just sent him a message, and let's see if he can jump back on, because I don't remember all the questions. What does it mean to be the human compass? It means to be there to hold things together in the center of the work, and it means to be there to make sure that the work can find you, can get to you. You are both the recipient and the conductor at the same time. Let's see if we can get this lit. Vito, are you on?
Hi, I'm on. Can you hear me?
Hey, yeah, I can hear you. I was just answering the first question because it's the one I remember from the group. So hang on a second. I was talking about the human compass. But welcome aboard. This is Vito V. He's a sorcerer, a sorcery student. He's producing the show, and he's making it all move smoothly on this second and fourth Thursday of the month. So I started with the, what does it mean to be a human compass? So hang in there while I just answer this question. I was saying that being the human compass is being the center point, holding it all together. You know, when when you have an actual compass, you see those arms, those things that flip around, show you where north is, right? Something has to anchor that. It has to hold that. That's the sort of tactile version. But the working version is to be there both as a recipient of the work and as an orchestrator of the work. If you are remaining dead center, then there is not a particular polarity that's working on you more than the other until you engage. Vito, what's another question that people have sent in?
They want to know that I know what the general polarities stand for. How do I make them specific for my needs?
Okay, great. So we talked about north, south, east, and west and what they do. And for tonight's purpose, I'm not going to get into the splits. The splits are north, northeast, southeast, northwest, southwest. How do you make them particular to your needs? First of all, you have to really understand what your needs are. And in sorcery, we stay away from the word need, because need and want have a tendency to be a continuous issue. And in so much as that, well, let's just say understand your requirement or the complexity of your problem. And really what it comes down to, is this something I'm bringing in? Is this something I'm trying to get rid of? Is this something I have been working for a long time and it's not going anywhere. It's just something that interrupts my life, and I have to have it in my life for my own requirements, but it still has to find the right place. So the very first thing that you do is see which of the polarities fits the category and therefore would fit the solution. And this is something you'd be very careful of, because when you use the polarities, it's really important to break down the equation. If you have five brothers and you hate one of them and that one is torturing you, you know, you want to be very careful not to go to the South and say, I want to be an only child. I want to get rid of my brothers that drive me crazy, especially one of them, when only one of them is the problem. So you have to be really specific so that the work does not do what you ask it to do and yet not what you actually require. This is a really important point. When you ask something to be sped up, you know, are you prepared for that? Because the polarities don't have emotions. They don't say, well, do you really, really want to have that happen? That never happens. What the polarities do is they do what you tell them to do. They are the most, I don't really love the word basic, but I'll use it, the most basic of the pillars in the work. They're right there. You're standing on them. So be very careful when you take this material into any kind of general context. It's very important to be laser specific about what it is that you're asking or requiring to do. Vito, when you first started studying, remember how complicated it becomes to take the word want and need out of your vocabulary? You want to talk about that?
Yeah, because want and need is not a complete task. It has to be an equation that takes that and you reduce that into a requirement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So want and need a lot of times is it's a very vague concept. It can be really aimed, or it has to be reduced to its specifics.
And you know how in class we talk about specificity in a way where someone says, well, this is what I desire. And I say, well, why are you working on the steps? Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? So when you work with polarities, I urge you not to work on the steps. You know, if you desire to have $100,000 in the bank and you have an idea about how to do that, then don't do sorcery so that the first step, the first person in that path will take your call. Go all the way to the end and do the sorcery on the end. You have another question from the email, Spita?
Yeah. In the books, you use the term go-to, and then you mentioned the polarities. What does go-to mean in the context of polarities?
So go-to is a phrase that can really jam people up until they really get it. And that's a great question. I'm glad we got that one. Go-to means to completely focus your action in the right polarity. If there are parts of something, you know, there's someone in your life who you have a love-hate relationship with, is that north or south? Do you desire to bring them closer or push them further away? So when you break it down to the smallest action, you have to really focus the solution towards the polarity that will bring you the actual thing that you require. Now, when I say go to, I don't mean walk over there. I mean take the entire composition of the equation of the problem or the requirement and focus it in that way and bring it as if it's a grand basket of things, as if nothing else in the world exists. When you say go to, what we're saying is in the moment of the working of the polarity, nothing else can be going on in your life, in your world, and in that moment. That's true for all actions of sorcery. It is especially true when you're working with giant magnetic elements. Magnetism, which is what the polarities have as their stock in trade, is so powerful and so exacting, it's like a bullet. And if you're not 100% in it, if you haven't brought the story in its entirety to that polarity, then you have not gone there. And that's what go-to means. To do that, you do that as the point of the human compass. You stay in the center. You stay neutral. and you focus everything on that. Think about this. You're at a gathering and you see someone across the room that you're very attracted to. In that moment, when you make that eye contact, or maybe just look at them, even if they're not looking at you, nobody else exists for a split second, even if it's not what you're trying to do. That second, and I give this story to especially beginners in the work, that second must be replicated in your mind when you are thinking of go-to in any of sorcery actions, but especially polarities. Vito, what do you think of that explanation?
I really like it. And I also started thinking immediately about how would it feel to be in a polarity. Because when I'm thinking about go-to, then I'm thinking about in a context of a polarity. And then I'm thinking about how would it feel to be in a polarity. Maybe you could give one example.
Sure. When you're working with North, and I'm going to just stick with that as the example for tonight. When you're working with North, sometimes you feel a little overwhelming because something is approaching you. Sometimes you can feel that North is compressing or shortening the distance between you and the experience. And that might feel a little hair-raising. That might feel a little oppressive even. People have said to me, I worked in the North and the thing happened, but first I felt like something was coming at me. And I say, well, because something was coming at you. So that is one example. And, you know, I said I was going to work with North, but I just want to mention South in this context. When you work in the South, when you're completely focused in removal, something coming away from you, you do feel that void. Sometimes there's loneliness. Sometimes there's disorientation. People tell me they feel dizzy. These kinds of things happen. So those are just very small examples of what it feels like and what actually happens. And they can be much more complicated, much bigger and stronger and life-changing, but those are just a couple of examples.
When I work for the South a lot, I would feel a lot of nausea and a lot of heat, so I do relate to that.
Yeah, you know, very much like when you're not feeling well and you're getting rid of those materials in your body that are poisoning you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
okay.
We have another question?
Yes. Tell me what it means to be a human compass. Can you elaborate on that more?
I talked a little bit about that in the beginning before you jumped on, and I'm just going to say a few more things now that the listening audience has some background in this process. To be a human compass, well, it actually means to be standing in the center of the compass and to be holding the location by being the center of the compass. But what it really means is to be completely neutral and completely open. You are both completely in charge and completely vulnerable at the same time. When I say in charge, you're orchestrating. You're standing in the middle. There are four orchestras around you, and you must conduct them as necessary. But there's also a tremendous vulnerability. Action must occur when interacting with these polarities and bringing things in and letting things go, moving things up and down and faster and slower. And the vulnerability is that voids must open. You know, here's the thing with an hour-long radio show is that I can do an hour on this void that I'm talking about now. So we're really just touching on things, just engaging a little bit in the process of this work. And then on the fourth Thursday of the month, I will do a Q&A, which is a different part of the subscription, and you know, you'll be able to find that when I post it. So, you know, all I can do now is give a general concept of one piece of the work. So the vulnerability is so important. You know, if you order something online and you don't answer the door to receive it, then how do you get the package? And I want to be very careful. When I use the word receive, I am not interested in the spiritual, whatever that means, because I don't know what that word means, or the religious or the gratitude version of receive. I simply mean that if you've called Amazon or you've gone online and bought something on Amazon, you don't get the package when it gets there. Either it's, you may never get it. It could disappear. Someone could steal it. You don't have it. It doesn't matter. But you have not completed the action of receiving. So vulnerability, and I mean energetic vulnerability, by opening voids, by facing into the solution, by being clear about the requirement from the front end, is necessary when you stand in that position as the human compass. What do you think, Vito?
I think a lot of times, and this is gonna connect to another question.
Okay. Is
when I work with the polarities, I really tend to start at the center all the time. I say I don't know. I know I have a certain problem to solve, but for that moment, I tell myself I don't know what that problem is, and I go at the center and the compass, and I just see okay, which polarity is kind of jumping out at me.
Mm-hmm.
At this moment.
You have to be careful, though, because sometimes the one that's jumping out at you isn't the answer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I wanted to ask a question about that. Like, should you pay attention being drawn to specific polarity when you solve a problem? Or should you specify polarity to solve a problem based on the qualities of that polarity?
That's a great question. There are a lot of pieces to that question. Let me break it down. I would say that if you have a reliable grasp of this particular pillar of the sorcery, then you can rely a little bit on what's waving its hand to you. You know, sometimes you think that East is necessary because you've been working on the same project for 20 years and it's still not paying off, and you're saying, well, you know, maybe I need to go east because I want to speed things up, and east is trying to get your attention because the essence of the project is somehow on the table. But really what's happening is you might have to go south. You might have to let go of this project that you've been working on for 20 years and isn't paying off, because some things that we desire to do slip from desire into habit. I'm very good at walking away from something in the middle if it's not working. And, you know, Vito knows this. He does a lot of projects with me. And if it's not exactly what we desire it to be, and I don't mean that I won't work on a project. I'll work on a project a long time if it's the right project. But if it's feeling like, you know, this isn't really what I desire to do, I'll say, fuck it, walk away and move on to what is next on the list of projects that are to be done. So you must be careful that it is not your mindset that's making a particular polarity wave at you, that it is, in fact, your understanding of the work. So in that sense, it's always better to first start with understanding the polarities and to say, you know what, I think there's a nuance here, because nuance is very important. Seeing the tiny pieces of the work is very important. So there's a nuance here. Okay, and let's use that same example. I've been working on this business for 20 years. It still costs me money every month. It's become a burden. It becomes that relationship you want to get the fuck out of. So you say to yourself, maybe what I really should do is use the self, not necessarily to squash the project, but to end my relationship with the project. Because it all becomes logical when it's not emotional. So you see, these kinds of nuances are great because you can take something apart and say, maybe this should just be my fucking hobby. I don't know. Maybe this thing is never going to provide what I desire for it to do because it's not built that way. So you can take things apart. You can remove aspects of things. Maybe that thing is something you just enjoy doing and it's never going to pay your bills or give you pleasure in that financial way. Maybe it's giving you no pleasure. Perhaps in that circumstance, you could even go, and I'm not really going to get into these things tonight, but I'm just going to touch on it a little bit, southeast, which is speeding up the process of removal. So in that sense, you know, if you're new to this or you don't have a real total grasp of it, or you have an emotional attachment to the question, to the equation, to the problem, if you want to call it that, then always go with the data of what the polarities do and not the one that's necessarily calling to you. Thoughts, Vito?
Yeah, also, you know, from experience of working on the big projects, sometimes parts of the project bring you pleasure, and mm-hmm. not the whole project. So it's very useful to use polarities to look at something big and reduce it to smaller parts and focus
yeah.
on those smaller parts that bring you pleasure. And I think polarities are incredibly useful here.
Yeah, that's a really good point. They shatter groups sometimes, polarities. Sometimes you group things all together. You know, I started this year of the mogul in September, and some of the things that I decided to do started to feel like they were too lumped together, like they were projects that were under one masthead that needed to be separated. And since then, I mean, we've been working on some things together. Since then, the radio show and the upcoming magazine, which is something I'll be announcing soon, sort of support each other in a way, but they're both about moving things forward. And they've taken a separate path in a way to be developed. And, you know, you can even go into the polarities and utilize the divination aspect. This is one more thing about the sensation of what's calling you. So if you go back to that question for a quick minute and you say, okay, East is calling me, and I think that East is saying to me, you know, hurry it up, speed up the project, speed it up. But what East might be doing is giving you this sensation of divination, telling you to, like, really look at it, to get in it and really cut it up because it's not working. So there is absolutely a divination application. That's for another show because that's a lot of information.
Yeah, because East might be calling you to open little boxes of the South within the East.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the technique I've been using, you know, little boxes of fire in the East that you put things in and, you know.
Sure. So do we have another question, Vito?
No, this was the last question.
Okay, great. So here's the way it all works. There are books on the subjects. I wrote one book about the black houses, which is the extension of the polarities, each of the polarities having its own north, south, east, and west. So you can have the north aspect of the northern polarity, the west aspect of the northern polarity. Because no thing is absolute, which is what's wonderful, and yet what can be complex. So if polarities are something that you're interested in, then you should consider taking a look at that book, which is called The Black Houses. Amazon right now is playing some games with those of us who write things that are powerful and separate from the way things are thought to be. So sometimes they make the books a little bit more difficult to find, but I have a solution for that that I'm working on. And it's very important that we consider changes. I'm mentioning that because considering changes is something that can be really sorted out in polarities. You can, as the human compass, sit in the middle and allow yourself, and allow is so important, because you open yourself up and you start to hear things and you start to let go of your doctrine and your sentiment, the things that really fuck your life up. If you want to be depressed, exhausted, and quickly dead, then attach yourself to things like sentiment, right? Sentimentality, which is, and doctrine, and an opinion against allow. I mean, these kinds of things will destroy you. If you understand, and you know, Vito, write this down. Let's do the next show about sentiment. What do you think about sentimentality?
Oh, I love it.
That's a really important. I mean, I laugh about it.
I'm a big fan of sentimentality.
it's a big one. Well, let's do the next one about sentimentality, about the brutality of sentimentality. If you harbor nothing but emotional butterflies in your stomach, and I'm being ridiculous right now, about something that really sucked, you know, that relationship with someone who you've changed the story of it in your head, and now it is a sentimental, horrible loss, which really what it might be is the freedom that you have to not be guided by this circumstance that you're in, something like that, for example. The polarities can help you with that. You can sit yourself down in the center of the polarities with no particular equation in mind, no particular problem to solve in mind, and start to opine on a particular issue, this relationship you're in. And I always use that example because everybody's been in a relationship they should have gotten out of a long time ago, at least once in your life. And whether it's a lover or a friend or a family member, sometimes you just have to get out. So this kind of thing is very important. You can sit in the center of the human, as the human compass. And let me say, when I mean sit in the center, I literally mean sit in the center. you don't do this on the fly. You have to know where north is. You must know where the polarities are to do this. You don't say, okay, I'm thinking about north. An advanced student can do that. Yes, that's true. But somebody new to the work or even moderately involved in the work, if you can find a room in your house and you can find north, south, east, and west and put a magnet in each one of those corners and sit in the center of that room and just feel it. This is not something we usually do in life. We don't have a room that is truly set in the correct polarities. Just do it. Just feel it. Just be in there. Be in a place of allow. And when you do that, what you can do is you can start to address the polarities one at a time. Just say, show me something. Show me what you're about. Show me how it feels to be affected by you. Allow yourself to feel the physiology of the thing, to feel the pull, to feel the push away, to feel the agitation, to feel the sort of malaise that might come from the West, which is appropriate timing. And by malaise, I mean that sort of sensation that you don't really know what's happening and when it's happening, and you have to be open to that. Learn the polarities. There's a couple of ways to do it. You could read the book, you can study, you can practice, you can feel. And if you are a more advanced student and you want to use some biologicals in this moment and see what happens and do a little divination, and we could talk about that in another show or people can send me questions about that, then do that. The whole thing is just meant to give you more. Nobody gets into sorcery to have less. People get into this work so that they can remember that it is a good thing, and I very rarely use that term. I'm using it in this moment, in this radio show, to have more. There is no requirement for suffering. There is no requirement for boredom, which is deadly. There is no requirement for sadness. There is a requirement for pleasure. I use the term apex pleasure all the time. Apex pleasure is an entirely flexible thing. It can be everything from having the life that is so intense and exact in what you desire, or it can mean being well if you're not well, or it could mean having money if you don't have any money, or it could mean getting alone for a minute if you've had too much input. Apex pleasure is what is apex pleasure to the receiver. There's no specific definition. It's broader than you think. Anybody or anything that tells you that you do not have the right to use your mind, your biologicals, your energy all the time to do exactly what you require doing, to be sure that you get exactly what you desire and require in your life, is not on your side. So tell them to fuck off. Make the choices. So I'm going to leave it there for tonight. Vito, do you have any other questions that you want to ask, or we're good? Either way is fine with me.
I just want to mention that in the beginning I used to have four chairs, and I used to have four magnets on four chairs, and I would sit in the middle, and that's how I would get into the center of my compass.
Perfect.
And that would be really used to work very well for me, so I recommend that technique.
Wow. That's great. Thank you for that. I also recommend that people use ceramic magnets, those black ones. The heavier, the stronger they are, the better, and you'll start to feel them. Some people like neodymium magnets. I'm sort of a fan of the ceramic magnets. But if you get the big ones that have 400-pound pull, please don't put your fingers between them because you will lose one. Be very careful. But experiment. You know, this work is here to experiment with. I am fairly accessible. I do a lot of classes and whatnot, but I would say from this point forward, as the radio show grows, this will be the best place to come in and to learn about the work. I will post this on one of my two websites. Actually, we'll post it on both of them, and we'll post the link on one of them. My website that I've had for decades is CagliastroTheIronRing.com. And you'll find on that all the materials, all the retail stuff, all the consultation stuff, all of that. And we're together developing a new website that is simply sorcerescagliastro.com, which is really a digital products. Wouldn't you say that it's more in that kind of area, Vita?
Yeah, after there.
Yeah.
And all the other things will be there,
yeah,
like RSS feeds and so forth. So it is like a digital distribution.
Right. And we will be working at this point with Patreon. We haven't given it the trial run yet, but it looks good for subscriptions to this show, which would be extraordinarily, extraordinarily affordable. It is my desire to make it affordable to everyone. There'll be tiers there, and anyone who's interested can also come in for the fourth show, which will be all Q&A. That'll be the fourth Thursday of the month. It feels now like the subscriptions will start in February. We've been using January to make these kinds of shows and to make sample productions so that the listening audience can learn from them. All right, so go to sorceresscagliastro.com and also check out, if you're interested, in my main site, which is cagliastrotheironring.com. If you Google me, you'll find 30-plus pages on Google about me. If you go to Amazon and put in my name, please spell it right, you will find my 46 published books there. Although Amazon is taking an effort to hide the new one, which are the 21 chaos sigils, so that you can learn to have fits and tantrums and quote-unquote bad behavior to bring forward the correct energy to access sorcery and to bring sorcery into its greatest fruition. All right, everyone. Here comes the out music. You know how to find me. And I look forward to a long and enjoyable experience with the new Dark Matters radio show. Thank you. Good night.
I've been a throw up the texting.